Alright, good evening, welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Peeps-Induced Nausea. I'm Mr. Skullhead, and Jake is on the line as well.
Jake is on the line. That was certainly a thing that we just listened to.
Yeah, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Oh, yeah?
Not my favorite nerdcore rapper, but, you know, he's pretty good.
That was, I don't really think I like that song.
Huh.
Yeah.
Figured that would be right up your alley, what with you hating Jesus and all.
Oh, I certainly do hate Jesus, Mr. Skullhead. What are you talking about? I don't hate Jesus.
What about that time you beat up that guy just because he was dressed like Jesus?
Oh, right. That's for looking like Jesus. That's what I said. What have you been up to, Mr. Skullhead? How was your Easter?
Well, we have the in-laws are in town, and so we had some Easter brunch. We had some quiche for our brunch. And it was pretty femmy, I gotta say. But
those are both such good words, though, quiche and brunch.
We had a brunch quiche.
It's like shark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an awesome word. You want the etymology of it to be more interesting. What was it? I was reading that there's that comic strip that guy, like some dude who like decided he was going to quit drinking for a year because his life was all a mess, and instead of drinking, he was going to do a daily comic strip a la James Kochalka.
Huh.
And today's comic was about a... I guess he has a job at a restaurant, and some, like, hillbilly guy coming in, and he ordered, like, 3 servings of this quiche that he kept referring to as bacon cake. Because it was quiche with bacon in it. I think I've had a quiche or two in my life, by which I mean a slice or two of quiche in my life. I don't understand why it is thought of as an effeminate thing, because it's like, you wouldn't say, like, are you enjoying your pie, you faggot? Or how do you like those scrambled eggs, sissy? You know?
I think it's just the name, to be honest.
Yeah? I mean, what is quiche? It? What's...
It's a French-sounding name, you know? It's a fancy food that people in Middle America might not have heard of before it started getting popular.
I mean, it's just like a weird... It's like a weird accident that's not, like, a common thing, right? I mean... I guess other people don't have that perspective, right? Other people, you know, like meeting people from civilization who are like, what the fuck? I can't believe you would eat squirrel meat.
Right.
Whereas I'm like, what's the fucking difference? You know, like, oh my God, I can't believe you would eat cow meat. You know?
Right.
It's like, there's not really any distinguishing character. Like, in fact, I'm so above it all, Mr. Scholar, that I can't even tell the difference between a shrimp and a cow. That's worse
than
a squirrel and a cow, which is what I was supposed to say. But for some reason, I looked out the window, saw a hummingbird, and thought, shrimp.
Gotcha.
There's hummingbirds all over the fucking place here. It's like an idyllic spring scene, what with all of these citrus trees blooming all at once, and the smell of tree fucking in the air, and hummingbirds flitting hither and yon.
Do you have some semen trees anywhere near your home?
No, I haven't. I don't remember when that happens exactly. There seem to be, like, phases. That's like cottonwoods, right?
I'm not sure what kind of tree they were. I just remember you saying there are these trees that smell just like semen when they're pollinating, and me going, nah, and then visiting you at that apartment and going, yep, smell of semen is in the air.
It's weird, man. It's weird. Yeah, it's not that kind of springtime yet. I don't know exactly what's going on with the scorpion situation either, because like eventually it gets warm enough that there's fucking scorpions everywhere here. And I went out hunting the other night, and I found 3 giant sluggish scorpions. And I of course murdered them, as is my duty as somebody who doesn't want his cat to get stung by scorpions.
Right.
Or you know, I don't know, if, like, maybe there's some babies here. I don't want them to get stung by scorpions. Not that there are any babies here that I know of.
There might be
some hidden babies. This house is full of secrets. You know, like that skit where the house had the hot chick room?
Right.
Maybe this house has a baby room.
You must be hiding in the baby room.
So I sort of didn't realize that it was Easter. I probably should have, like, called my mom, although she doesn't give a fuck about Easter either, I don't think. I watched like 6 hours of dudes getting shot. So that was entertaining. That being in the context of the first half of Band of Brothers.
Ah, right.
Which is pretty good. Have you seen it? Any of it?
No, I think we went through this. It's set.
Oh, right. You don't like war movies. We were talking about this. How you don't like war movies. War movies. War movies never changes.
What are they good for? That's what I'm asking.
When's a Hot Tub Time Machine?
How was that, no?
That was, I don't know. Maybe you would hate it.
Well,
I didn't think that it was, like, the greatest thing ever. Like, it was a fairly good comedy. Like, there wasn't anything, like, embarrassingly stupid about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some poop early on, which is pretty gross. You know, and just, like, sort of not necessary. You know, the poop didn't really add anything.
Right.
It wasn't like Two Girls, One Cup, which just wouldn't have been the same without the poop. Yeah, you're involved.
You're talking about poop and Hot Tub.
I know you don't like. I'm saying that I'm saying that you might not like it because there's a poop joke.
I've enjoyed films with poop jokes in them.
Really?
Cinema de merde.
Cinema du merde.
Not Another Teen Movie was pretty funny.
Did that have poop in it?
That had a cavalcade of poop as a central gag. The Harold and Kumar, that had the Battleshits twins.
But that was just noises. It wasn't.
Enjoyed
that part
movie.
I honestly kind of hated that part.
Hmm.
I mean, because I didn't, you know, like, the concept of, like, ruining some hot girls is, you know, that's not cool.
Right?
You know, I mean, I wouldn't have wanted somebody to, like, deface a priceless painting, you know? And that, oh, haha, it's funny, we just ruined something that was pleasant. I didn't like that part of Fight Club where he beats the shit out of Jared Leto. Yeah, I totally did.
Yeah, well, we all enjoyed that now. Come on.
Fucking 30 Seconds to Mars. Fuck you. That's what I said. That's not what I said. I know nothing about that band. Is that band any good?
No, they're a pretty terrible emo band.
Oh, yeah?
You probably heard the song. It was, "Don't bring me down, bury me, bury me." Sounded something like that.
Yeah? Is that what it sounded like?
Yeah.
Because that was pretty terrible. Did you do anything else last week, this week, early this week, late last week?
Next week.
Weekend? Just, you got, you. I know you people in town, did anything besides brunch? Did your kid do anything adorable?
Oh, tons of things, yeah. Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ask me for specific examples, and I don't know if I can do that.
Right. Is he taking adorable dumps in his diaper?
Jesus Christ.
I know how you like poop jokes.
Yeah. The problem with poop jokes is that there's just nothing funny about poop in a diaper. Like, poop in a toilet, sure. You could maybe wring some humor out of that, but Jesus.
Ew. You could wring some of your kids' humors out of a diaper.
Probably.
Poop is one of the humors, right? Like, one of the four types of people is somebody who's just, like, completely full of shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So you just have to balance it with more bile. All I know about the four humors is that there's bile is one of them.
There's bile and phlegm, and then, like, you can be sanguine, right? Like, blood is one of the four humors.
Mm-hmm.
Blood, bile, phlegm, and...
poop.
Vinegar. It's full of, you know, they'll say that somebody's full of blood and vinegar.
Ew. Do you think the vinegar would cause the blood to clot faster?
I don't know. You should inject yourself with some and see.
I'll do my best.
RDFM wrote into the Twitter, "Loving the Nerdcore, nice work, and on a Tuesday to boot. Seems like old times." Yes, indeed! Whoa. There's a Twitter developer conference in April. All right, so there's a definition of a term on Twitter's homepage. Chirp, Twitter's first developer conference in April. I wonder how many developer conferences they're having in April and what the second, third, and fourth ones will be named. RDFM also points out a typo in item description, the fat bottom quark. I was pretty happy with that item.
Yeah, I got a little smile out of that.
Oh, somebody fixed it already. That was weird. That thing just showed up. X-Danstick wrote, hey guys, so Frontalot is now designing content for KOL. Does that mean that Jick will start singing for Frontalot's upcoming tour? Come on, I'm not the one who sings like a woman. You're thinking of Mr. Skullhead. And also,
I sing just like a woman.
Just like an old black woman.
But I break
that's
just
how
like
you
a,
sing.
I break just like a little black girl.
That's racist, Mr. Skullhead. You're a racist.
Who's a racist?
I got this weird spam email that
about racism?
No, it wasn't about racism. It was like from I thought that because I looked at it like on my phone and I couldn't because you know my phone is an iPhone, I couldn't run Flash because like Flash, joke about Flash and iPhone, Flash, Apple, Flash. And it was like the caption on it made me think that it was like some weird, like I got this letter a long time ago in the mail that was like inviting me to a Johnson family reunion.
Oh.
But the letter turned out it was just like spam for that some new TV series called The Closer.
Huh.
And they had just sent a letter to everyone. I don't know. Like they had just sent a letter to you know, a bunch of people whose last name is Johnson. Because the character's last name is, or the actor's last name is Johnson, or whatever. And so it was just like tricking you into reading this letter that turns out to be a promotion for this fucking TV show.
But that's going to make you,
you know,
line up to watch it?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, it was like, it was kind of clever, but I wasn't going to watch it. I mean, like, I wasn't going to watch it anyway, and that kind of shit's not going to actually change my behavior, I don't think. I like to believe that I'm immune to advertising, because I'm a smug fucker.
Hmm.
I'm
a fug smucker, which is...
Fug smucker. You make delicious hamburgers. So anyway, this spam was like, it was like one of those Flash e-cards, and it was just some stupid bullshit where it's like, oh, I can tell by the go for the jelly beans look in your eye that it must be Easter or some fucking rabbit in a basket. Just some terrible joke that somebody's grandma would think was, and it, so it was like some, it was two somebody named Z Johnson from their grandma, but then there's a line in the end about how her fiance, her granny's new fiance, is working on technology for growing crops on Mars, which is called terraforming. If you want to Google it, which made me think like, wait a minute, is this some fucking like ARG for some game that takes place on Mars? Like what? What the fuck? Like what? Like your grandma? Oh yeah, yeah. You know my new husband. He's a Mars farmer. Like what is that? I mean, I guess you could be working on something and you could tell people, oh, this has applications like growing crops on Mars, right? But like you're lying. You're full of shit if you're telling people that.
Well, if you're telling them that it could be used for that, I suppose. But
well, okay, this is a shovel. It could be used to dig holes on the moon. And then you tell all your friends, oh boy, my new boyfriend sure is working hard on his moon shovel. Like, yeah, so I don't know. So then I looked at it on my computer, you know, to actually look at the stupid Flash thing with the bunny, thinking that, you know, maybe this is going to be some lead into some video game or something, you know, like, and no. No, it's not. It's just some confused old woman. Yeah, I don't know about that, man.
That's insane.
Hey, did you see the guy, that Red Letter Media thing, the guy that did the Phantom Menace 70-minute video review, did a 90-minute Attack of the Clones review?
Yeah, I keep seeing those on every link aggregator that I visit, and I just don't have the time.
Really?
Yeah. I think an hour and a half.
I guess you're busy raising your kid. And
is it just a review of the film in real time?
Yeah, no. That movie's longer than 90 minutes long. I mean, did you not watch the first one?
No, because
it's pretty good.
Any length that's longer than say 5 minutes, I'm not gonna watch.
What? You're getting older, man. You're supposed to have a longer attention span.
I do, but not in front of my computer.
So watch it on your iPad.
Oh yeah, I forgot about my iPad.
I played with Riff's iPad for a minute today.
If you get an iPad, don't count on it not being broken over your head at con.
So if I get an iPad, I need to hide it from you at con. There was a part of me that was like, hey, this is pretty cool. I should not buy a first-gen Apple product. See, this is the thing. This is where you mark yourself as an Apple sycophant, but an Apple sycophant who's supposedly, like, above it all. When you say, oh, well, I'm not going to buy it because you never buy a first-generation Apple product.
Right.
You know, which is like, I'm still drinking the Kool-Aid. I just want some other people to drink it first so that I don't look like an asshole. I mean, it, like, as a device that has Netflix streaming built into it and is, like, much friendlier to use, like, while I'm sitting outside or laying in bed than a laptop is, it has some value. As a thing that I could theoretically, like, read stuff on, it has some value, but it's, like, it's really heavy. It is way heavier than you would expect it to be.
Yeah, I didn't think it was super heavy. Adam got one, of course.
Oh, are you making fun of him?
The day it
came out. Are you being a huge jerk to him too?
Yeah.
Or is this a thing that you reserve just for me?
No, I was making fun of him before he got it and after he got it. And
my mom totally wants an iPhone. Does that mean you don't like my mom anymore?
No, it's not your mother's taste in electronics that makes me want to have sex with her. It's the fact that she's hot.
Oh, I see. And I guess, you know, her upgrading to a phone that has MMS capacity can only be a good thing for you.
That's true. No, it's like, so he showed me the e-reader, and he's like, look, if you go like this, you flick your finger across, and it's like it turns the page with this, like, that's an amazing simulation of turning a fucking page in a fucking book from something that costs $500, runs on a battery, has a backlit screen. Like, I'm not impressed with that. Like, look, it can do all these things almost as well as a laptop does. And it costs just as much as the laptop you just bought. And like, awesome?
There are some things that I would argue that it does better than a laptop. But, I mean, I see, you know, I get your objection, right? The Netflix thing is, to me, a good feature, right?
If I was going to do that, I'd do it on the little laptop I just got, though.
Really?
Right? You know?
I mean, I assume when I was thinking about a laptop that was that cheap, that it would probably have, like, a 7-inch or 8-inch screen. Is that not the case?
No, it's an 11-inch.
Huh.
And it's higher resolution than the iPad.
Sure.
You can't touch it, but I don't care. Like, that's why it has a trackpad and a keyboard. So I don't have to smear my fingers across it, you know?
Sure. I was firmly on your side of the, like, e-reader thing until the last couple of months in which I have read several books on my phone.
Huh.
Right? Like, they're like, oh, look, it looks like a page is turning. Like, that's some bullshit and you should turn that off, right? Because there's no sense of that. But the fact that, like, I've been listening to this podcast that Riff told me about that's like the H.P. Lovecraft literary podcast. It's these guys that like once a week are recording like a half an hour show in which they just sort of talk about, and they don't so much like analyze the stories, but they kind of talk about them. They talk about the ways in which they compare to other stuff. They talk about like what was going on just sort of biographically with Lovecraft at the time that it was written, and they're just sort of going through his entire career in order, one story at a time. Like, as they were written instead of as they were published.
Vag was telling me about that looked pretty good, that he was enjoying that.
The podcast?
Yeah.
It's pretty good because it's sort of, for me, what it allows me to do. I mean, I listen to it in the morning and, you know, while I'm making breakfast and stuff. That's how I start my day. I'm going to run out of them eventually and not be able to start my days anymore. But it is a way to expose yourself to H.P. Lovecraft without actually having to read it all in some ways. But some of them, I mean, when they'll talk about, like, you know, this is what we're going to be doing next week for those of you who, like, want to read them. Like, and so the ones that seem like they would be interesting, like, on my phone, because all of H.P. Lovecraft's stuff is public domain now, anytime I want to read an H.P. Lovecraft short story, all I have to do is, like, go into this e-reader app, type in the name of it, and then, like, 5 seconds later, I'm reading it, which is kind of fucking magic, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Like, the ability to just produce a book from, to produce the contents of a book, to produce the essence of what a book is, which is to say, the words that make up the story, and just be able to, like, you know, acquire and completely read it over the course of a single smoke break there is a place for that, right? Like, I'm not saying that I'm going to burn all my books and replace them with electronic copies of the books because, like, you know, I love books, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, I download a lot of old, and I should be buying these. This goes against a lot of my professed beliefs, but I download a lot of, like, old RPG source books as, like, PDFs, like, just stuff that's been scanned, like, and, you know, like, old copies of magazines that I have but that are falling apart or ones that I missed and you just can't buy anymore, whatever. And yeah. It would be nice to have something on which I could read them on a form factor that was, like, a page, you know? Because I hate reading PDFs on the screen because the screen is wide and the pages of an 8.5x11 book are tall.
Right.
And Acrobat sucks for reading shit that's taller than the screen, especially if it's in, like, multiple columns, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of the odd man out with a lot of this, that it doesn't interest me to accrue more media than I can consume. So, like,
yeah.
I could go and, like, Adam, he's got hundreds of books in PDF format, and anytime you mention a book to him, he just downloads it and adds it to his list of, like, 8,000 things to read. But when I want to read a book, I make the decision, like, is this worth, you know, going to the library to get or ordering off of Amazon, you know, paying some money for it, waiting for it to come, and then sitting and reading it? Like, is this worth taking on vacation with me? And I don't know, there's something about having value added to it makes it more likely that I'm going to watch or read it, you know?
Sure.
Same thing.
And
with,
I mean, that's that. You know, my hoarding influence or my hoarding instinct doesn't kick in with stuff like that, right? Like, I don't just download books that I have, you know, just, like, vague interest in reading. Like, I buy more books than I have time to read, you know, physically. But then, if I'm in the mood to read something, I like having, you know, 50 or 60 books sitting around that I haven't read. So, well, chances are I'll be in the mood to read one of them.
Sure.
You know. I mean, this weekend I read Steve Martin's autobiography, which was really good. But I bought it like a year and a half or 2 years ago, and it had just been sitting on the shelf, and I'm like, I should read that. And then I did, and that was kind of awesome. But the thing is, like, when we were doing the research for the April item of the month, or the March item of the month, I did not have a copy of Alice in Wonderland, and I was able to just get one while I was at the airport, you know. I don't know why. Like, there's a part of me that doesn't feel like buying public domain books.
Yeah, I can understand. Like, I would get into e-readers if they cost maybe what 5 books cost.
Sure, and I would not have bought one. Right, I would not have bought one. Yeah. I could do it on a device that I already own and use for other things. I don't know. You know, you can hassle me about being an Apple sycophant, but the iPhone is fucking magic.
It is
just magic. It is just the future in your pants.
I will not make fun of the iPhone. Since I got my phone that's like the kind of toy version of it, I go, wow, I'm spending twice the amount of time I used to on my phone, just like checking my email and Twitter and Facebook and shit, because I can. Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, so that's great, you know. But we didn't used to have the problem as humans that we spent an hour or 2 hours a day just fucking with our phones when we weren't talking to anyone.
So it solves the problem.
It does solve the problem.
So, yeah, I'm kind of on board on the internet on your phone thing, but to me the iPad is just, I'm amazed that people who are like our age and younger are even considering buying this fucking thing. especially having sat around and played with it. It's just, it's a broken laptop, or, you know, like, a feature-poor laptop, or AOL in a little square.
So there are, I mean, no individual application of it merits its existence, right? Like, so it's a Netflix player, but a lot of things are Netflix players. You can read books on it, but you can also read books on your couch holding a book that's made of trees.
Right.
Riff seems to be using the shit out of it as a comic book reader.
Yeah, that's what Adam was all about, too.
So, I mean, that, you know, that's a thing that again, I could imagine, you know, like my consumption of comics is, you know, I'm super frustrated. I got excited by that preview for the Scott Pilgrim movie.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, I bet this comic's pretty good. So I ordered the first issue of it off of Amazon, and it showed up, and I read it, and I was like, man, that was good. I'm going to buy the rest of these. And so now I am the proud owners of issues 1, 4, and 5, and the other fucking issues of it, like the next one that I need to read in order to continue the story, is like 2 weeks or 3 weeks backordered. This is why I fucking hate comic books. This is why I can never become like an earnest comic book person.
Yeah.
Because every time I find something that I'm interested in, I end up like just unable to acquire the second or third installment of it. I mean, this, you know, it just takes time, right? But it's like, I don't know, it'll get here and it'll be like, oh, right, that was that thing that I was really excited about reading 2 weeks ago. I don't know if I'm going to sit down and read it now, you know? And I'm sure that I will, because it's pretty good.
Yeah. And I can see, like, I could understand going, okay, this is kind of a, you know, feature-poor laptop, but it does have these nifty little niche uses for it. Like, if you could find, like, every comic book and, say, the X-Men series, and you could just sit and read them all for $2 an issue, which is the way it is now, but just...
Well, unless you steal them.
Yeah. But the fact that it's... Yeah, I don't know. Just the fact that it costs between $600 and $800 is just an absolute no-go for me. Like, I can build a fence around my yard for that much money. I can buy a fucking chair to sit in and read a bunch of books for that much money. Like, there's so many things that are...
I feel like you could buy a lot of fucking chairs for $800.
Like a really nice chair.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. I got a really nice chair, and it only cost like $400.
Yeah, so did I. But, okay, so I can buy two chairs for the...
Okay, two really nice chairs, and then sit in them with somebody else, and you can talk about how comfortable you are.
It's like, God, I'm so glad that we didn't spend $800 on some piece of shit that's going to be obsolete in a year. Maybe I'm just getting prematurely old, but I wasn't interested in it when they announced it. I wasn't interested in it the more they explained what it was.
Right.
Like, so it's a little better than a phone, a little worse than a laptop. It's like, it fills a void that you didn't even know was there. Like, no, it fills a void that you've created. You throw this shiny piece of shit out there, and fanboys pick it up and figure out what they want to do with it, and then it's indispensable to their lives. And, like, I don't know. That's just depressing to me.
You don't have to like it. I would point out that it also is a machine for playing a bunch of games that you can only play on it. So right. there's that, right? Which is not in and of itself a thing. Have you seen the Scrabble thing? Because I think that's pretty fucking cool.
Uh-uh.
So, like, you can play, you can buy, and I know it's probably like $5 or $10, this Scrabble game for the iPad that displays a Scrabble board. And then there is a companion free iPhone app that you connect to it. And on your phone are your tiles. And then you can play Scrabble with people. Like, the notion of a thing that lets you... Like, imagine if the thing let you play fucking Arkham Horror without having to deal with all the hardware of the game, right?
I would probably, like, get together with 8 people and buy one, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I would want it to be the size of a table, though.
The fact that it's already got... The fact that it's already got, like, Scrabble doing that, that's sort of, like, right out of the gate proving the commercial viability of doing a board game-like thing on there. Like, it is, that is potentially a thing that is of really significant interest to dudes like us.
Right.
Right? You know. And the thing is, it's like, it's really like, you know, you can only play with other people who also all have iPhones or iPod Touches or whatever. Right. You know, but, like, it's coming up on what I imagined playing games with people would be like in my wildest dreams of the future, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, just having the bookkeeping of stuff, like playing games with people in real life, but having the bookkeeping taken care of by machines is sort of like, it's kind of perfect, right? I feel like it has all of the advantages of everything without the disadvantages. So, I mean, just imagining the Arkham Horror thing, like, I feel like that's, you know, another potential application. Like, it is possible that this thing is going to be awesome and that eventually something will happen that makes you want one.
I'm guessing it'll be a couple more gens down the line, though.
Sure. I mean, you know, I could see saying the same thing, like a coffee table, you know, like the Microsoft Surface or whatever. Like, I feel like eventually that kind of thing is going to become ubiquitous. Right, and so whether it's worth the money to get the kind of Fisher Price version of it now is dubious. But I mean, I just feel like that's where it's going, right? Like, eventually every Surface is going to be a computer.
Do you agree that our next game is definitely iPad-orific?
Well, if we want to write a whole new version of it.
Yeah, except for the fact that it's not in the right format.
Yeah.
We'll see. If this platform takes off the way it's supposed to, then
yeah.
Like paying
and I mean,
a guy
you know,
to convert the thing.
I don't know if I believe that it's going to or not, right? I don't. Maybe this will be a flop. It's been a long time since Apple had something that just flopped. But
if you look at the hype machine, you know, like if you look at Gizmodo and all of the little gadget blogs and Kotaku and stuff, you would think that everybody in the world has one of these, and if they don't, then they're going to get one soon. You know, just like, I'm comfortably middle class, but the idea of spending $400 for a phone and $800 for a half laptop is,
yeah,
it's bizarre to me. It might as well be, add another
zero.
Yeah, but
zero. I mean, so does the prospect of spending like $2,500 on a laptop. But that's how much a Mac laptop costs, you know. Like,
yeah, people, and I would never.
People want to use Macs. I mean, I would almost try to switch my mom over to a Mac, just because it's less shit to worry about,
mm-hmm.
right? But you know, and it's more expensive, and it's I don't know. I'd hate for my mom to be one of those Mac fags.
My big sister tried to convince me that Macs cost twice as much as like a Dell that's similarly spec'd, but they last twice as long. And to me, that holds absolutely no weight whatsoever. I don't buy that.
I mean,
in the slightest.
I've definitely known people for whom that is true. I mean, like Hot Stuff has gotten a new laptop like every 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having gone through three different Mac laptops in his entire adult life, right? But he's like, you know, just super fastidious about taking care of it. I had, you know, I mean, that iBook that I had a lot, like that I bought like 8 or 9 years ago, still works, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you don't tend to get rid of a laptop because it breaks. Like, I never this is running an iteration of Windows that's 3 years old. I'd like to,
Yeah. I did get a piece of shit Mac laptop, though, that was just lemony.
Hmm.
Lemony, like a snicket. It had some accidents, but it was fucked up to begin with. I really was frustrated. Right when I opened the box, I was like, I should probably take this back. Because there was like a sticky key on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, well, no, you know what? Here, now look, it's fine now. And because I was just too lazy to, I was only like across the mall from the store too. I was just like too lazy to walk back over and exchange it. And then it turned out to just be a fucking lemon.
Probably somebody jacked off into it.
Dude. Somebody at the factory.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, I love working on MacBooks. Oh. This particular MacBook is just, hot little piece of Mac ass. Yeah.
Jalen points out that if you do that with Arkham Horror, the DM can't cheat with other people's knowledge, though, or without other people's knowledge, though. I'm guessing that a well-done, first, there is no DM in Arkham Horror, I don't think.
No, you
take. I am guessing that any like pen and paper role playing stuff that happens, they know. The people making these things are not like people who don't understand how pen and paper role playing works, right? So they know they're going to let you fudge die rolls. And I mean, you can also just like, you know, I don't think that like for playing like Dungeons and Dragons that the machine should just run combat for you, right? Yeah. Like, because that's not the way that works, or at least it's not the way it should work. Maybe that's the way people play it with 4th edition, and it's crazy rulesnesses. James Leffler wrote, Breaking Bad has started. You see this show having any positive outcome for the characters? I love it, but don't see Walt surviving. I have never seen a single episode of Breaking Bad. I don't know. I know that it's got that guy, the dad from Malcolm in the Middle, whose name escapes me. And he's like a meth dealer, meth addict, meth cooker.
He had a terminal disease, or I guess so he thought, so he started dealing meth so that he would have something to for his parent, something to provide for his kids when he died. And,
Brian Cranston.
Sounds like Weeds, only a lot more melancholy.
Yeah. Is it any good? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen any of it. I started watching Weeds again just the other day, though.
Oh. Good. I watched the first two seasons like last year when I was in New York, and then my mom got me the third and fourth seasons on DVD for my birthday last year, but I haven't watched them yet.
The first half of the fourth season is pretty terrible, and so we stopped for a while, and then a friend of ours said you have to keep going because it gets so much better.
Don't you start seeing her boobs all the time now?
Yeah, like all the time. Seriously, like for no reason, like. In this scene, you're going to be in the bathtub with your tits hanging out while you just have this kind of perfectly normal conversation with another character that advances the plot a little bit.
Wait, do you feel like normally you would not have your tits out while you're in the bathtub?
I'm just saying, like, the entire exchange didn't need to take place in the bathtub.
I see. But then, if she hadn't been in a bathtub, there wouldn't have been an excuse for her to be naked.
Oh, there you go.
Do you not want to see her boobs because you're gay?
No, I have no problem with her boobs. I was just saying, like, the frequency with which they appear is kind of interesting.
Interesting or disappointing?
Fantastic.
Okay.
I'm going to say.
Beowulf writes, have you listened to the newest Jordan Jesse Go, then? I don't know if you, like, I listened to the one that came out a couple days ago or whatever, but apparently at some point, because I saw this on Penny Arcade just now, they've released the lost episode that they recorded with the Penny Arcade guys. I listened to the first, like, 30 seconds of it, which was Jesse Thorne saying, I was reluctant to release this show because I don't think that it's very good. If you listen to it and enjoy it, you're probably making a mistake. Which, that was a pretty funny way of putting that. I'm a little worried that I'm going to listen to it and just feel like everyone on Earth is an asshole.
Huh.
But I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it and see what happens. That's what I'm going to listen to it and do. I should have eaten dinner before this radio show, Mr. Skullhead.
Are you getting peckish?
Yeah, a little peckish. A lot of people retweeting our shameless cross-promotion with MC Frontalot's zero-day quest. You know, he told me about this thing, like, the first time I met him. When he was here at that party, the after party at my house, like three cons ago.
Yeah.
I was sitting on the couch, discussing that we had both had the same first computer, and it was like, oh, memories. Yeah. So I'm glad that we finally found a reason to get that in there.
Yeah, and the reason. Is you.
Mm-hmm. My mom likes Hoobah Stank.
Well, I'm not a perfect person. You know what? You can stream Hoobah Stank videos on your iPad.
Cool.
That's the killer app.
Yeah. Yeah, being able to watch Hoobah Stank videos whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read that article that Frontalot linked to from his Twitter?
The one about Kesha?
About TikTok?
Yeah, I read the first half of it.
Yeah, I read the first half of it too. I was like, this is interesting, but I eventually need to go to work.
I thought for like the first third of it, like, this is really interesting. Like, this guy is really on top. He's on to something, or he's at least pretending to be on to something to be funny. Yeah, right. But after about half of it, it's like, oh, yeah, this is why I dropped out of college. Or, not dropped out of college. This is why I dropped my is why I didn't get my major in literary theory. Just because, just super pretentious, overanalyzing something to absolute death in as large of words as possible.
Yeah, the whole time I was reading it, I was like, I can't decide whether or not this is just pretentious enough or just too pretentious for me to read. That was good. Somebody had written into Radio Bugbear, and I want to read this because this is a thing. Ziltank says, I hated that long Joanna Newsom song when you played it last week. Then I listened to it again. Now it's great and stuck in my head. How'd that happen? Well, like that guy wrote, just because something is accessible doesn't mean that it's good. Just because something is good doesn't mean that it's accessible. those are on different ways. Like, you know, not the fact that something is accessible does not also mean that it isn't good, right?
Right.
Because, like, you know,
the Beatles.
Hey-ya is accessible and good.
Right.
Right. But yeah, man, that's what happens with Joanna Newsom. You listen and you're like, God, this woman's voice is annoying. And then you listen again and you're like, oh, that those lyrics are kind of cool. And then you listen to it again and you're like, oh, God, I want to have sex with this woman's notebook.
So it's the Neutral Milk Hotel effect?
And also her vagina, probably. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen her notebook either. Might be one of those vaginas that's actually a penis.
That would be unfortunate.
It would be. Like in The Crying Game. Spoilers!
No, that's a penis, and at this point a shaggy dog, meaning nothing to see here. Move along.
Do you only speak in song quotes? Oh, right, yes, that's why I like you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to try and answer that in a song quote, but just could not come up with a single song to say, like, yes. Yes.
Did you come up with any songs by Yes?
We have no bananas.
I've got a lovely pair of coconuts.
I've got a brand new pair
of roller skates. I keep seeing stuff about Jason Rohrer's new game. And have you seen that whole sleep is death thing? Have you seen anything about it?
Was that the Pixel game?
Yeah, it's like the weird, like, sort of collaborative storytelling thing.
Oh, no, I hadn't seen that.
And it's... I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, you know, he's got this idea that, like, you know, if you want to have, like, a truly transcendent experience with a video game, that there needs to be another person involved, because you're never going to write AI to be as cool or as good at telling stories as another person. But, so yeah, I mean, I think what happens is you've got one person that's, like, hosting the story and then one person that's, like, playing it, right? And so they, like, they have 30 seconds to, like, walk around and click on things, and then you are sort of editing the game world to determine what happens to them, uh-huh. Like, you're kind of telling a story, right? And to them, it's like, oh my god, I'm playing this amazing video game that just responds to whatever I do in a way that makes some kind of sense and tells a story. And, you know, to you, you're like, I'm telling a story. But I feel like it's either, like, you're going to play it with somebody you know, and if you're anything like me, you're going to be too embarrassed to try and do anything cool with it. Or you're going to be playing with strangers, and you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to talk to this old woman. And then it's like, oh, sweet, a huge cock and balls.
Because that's the future.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, these stories that people are telling about, like, because he, the guy who made the game, is, like, demoing it with press people,
mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, so he's all art-tastic. I really want to hate that guy, but he seems super nice. So it's...
No reason you can't hate him.
I guess that's true.
Fuck that nice guy.
Yeah, goddamn hippie doing shit that actually kind of makes sense. And, yeah, I don't know. Putting your money where your mouth is, trying to live off the grid, letting your kids shit in a bush instead of wearing diapers. Although, honestly, reading that kind of convinced me that maybe that's the way to do it.
Our hippie friend has her kid, well, she calls it, like, toilet trained, but the kid has her toilet trained, you know?
Yeah.
Like, every time the kid pooped for the first couple months of its life, she would make a sound. And every time the kid peed, she would make a different sound. And so now, like, every morning she holds the kid over the toilet and makes the pooping sound, and the kid poops, and... I don't know. She doesn't go through a lot of diapers.
Yeah.
But
does she go through a lot of couches?
Yeah. She said it's very, very rare that he will poop or pee without the signals.
I mean, I guess that's just, like, the way it's done in certain Asian cultures, at least. I don't know which ones.
The ones in Asia.
Yeah, the ones, the Oriental ones.
Right.
I've been on this, like, kind of tear about frustration with social programs on the Thursday shows, and I want to read this long rant from ACM. Okay. So we had this discussion about whether it's possible for people to begin their lives in debt, and I sort of believed that it wasn't possible, but I'm learning that maybe it is potentially possible, which kind of sucks. So ACM says, here's how people can start in the hole. Their ability to just get a job is restricted by their neighborhoods being miles from any decent commercial areas. They don't have a car or transit access. Their ability to successfully survive an interview is hampered by the fact that they only half made it through school, but also by the fact that the tough guy walk that got them respect in their neighborhood makes managers nervous, that their urban slang codes for stupid to some HR person, that they don't have any shared experiences to joke about with the recruiter. Or their ability to do well in school is hampered by having to work to support their siblings, putting them behind from the start, or all the models they have of success involve guns and glory, and nobody they know has a stable family and casseroles in the evening, and they can't even imagine such a life, let alone how to get there, or they honestly don't think they'll live to be 25 because half the folks they know have been killed, so they can't bother to care about any future issues. I don't know, I just think it's a lot more complex than the cleverness of any particular individual. How they apply that cleverness is constrained by the world that they see. So the only argument, you know, like, I understand that these problems exist, right? And my argument is that the solution to this problem is to not just give that dude a bunch of money. Right? Okay. The being able to get to another neighborhood to get a job, you show me any petition to increase the amount of money that we spend on public transportation and I will sign it. Give me the opportunity to, like, double the income tax that I pay with the understanding that all of that money will be spent on mass transit in this country, and I would agree to that. I mean, I'd probably be pissed off at myself afterwards for saying that, because, like, yeah, that does kind of suck, actually. But, like, you know, I honestly would not be upset if the price of gas tripled and all of that money was used to create public transit, right? I would love to not have a fucking car,
right?
You know, and people talk about how it doesn't work in rural areas, you know, it doesn't work in places where you'd work 50 miles from your house. Like, you know, don't do that is one thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about, like, I was talking to a guy who was, like, a friend of my dad's who moved back to the town that I lived in. And, you know, I was talking about, like, you know, just make gas more expensive and put public transit in. Like, that. This seems to me to be a thing that would work, right? And he talked about, well, here in a rural area, the distances are so great that, like, you just can't get away with it. But the thing is, in that rural area, there are few enough people that you could just give everybody a ride to and from work whenever they needed it with, like, 5 buses,
right?
You know, like, people live all kinds of distances from schools, and everybody can take the fucking bus to school. Everybody gets their kids to and from school via the same municipally funded mass transit system, right? It clearly works for huge swaths of the population that have to be in a given place at a given time every day. And there are some sacrifices that are made for this, right? Like, they waste some time, right? It takes longer for them to ride the bus than it would take if they were, you know, driving themselves. Or some of them, it makes more sense for them to ride their bikes to school. Some of them walk, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we got some exercise, right? Not everybody can do that, but everybody can take the bus. Like, why is the idea of doing that for adults so anathema to people? Like,
because
you know,
kids don't have a choice, I guess. Like,
so if you made gas so expensive that people couldn't afford it, if they worked at the factory, they wouldn't have a choice either.
Yeah, but that's anti-American.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's anti-American. But the thing is, there isn't really any difference between school bus. Like, in the places that we were talking about this, everybody works at one of three fucking factories. And all of the shifts start at the same fucking time. There is no reason that you couldn't bus people so much more cheaply than having people drive. Everyone would have more money if you did that.
Right. But if
everyone would have more money if you did that.
That doesn't matter because you're messing with the free market, and the free market is God in this country. That's what we, you know, we might as well just move to Germany if you're going to make me decide, you know, make me not have as much money if I want to drive my own car.
This goes back to that, you know, this goes back to that I can't believe you eat squirrel thing. Like, you know, the distinctions that people draw between things that they're okay with having the government take care of and the things that they're not okay with having the government take care of don't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
The fact that people with money, for whatever reason, don't want to give any of that money to support public education is kind of horseshit, too.
Right. The fact that people would rather pay for more prisons than more, like, arts programs in schools. Which I would argue would lead to less people in prison.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay, well, think of something that you could do. You know, like,
sure. Trade schools, right? Like,
yeah.
This is the thing. Like, I get that you grow up in an underprivileged urban neighborhood, and you can't help but be an asshole who no one is going to want to hire. But, you know, I've seen enough heartwarming, inspiring movies to know that you probably know how to fix a fucking car or something. There's something that you're interested in, right?
Right.
So use public money to educate people and put them in jobs. Don't use it to feed them. Because that...
Use it to teach them how to fish.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that, but in the things that we can't do because... It's messing with the free market. It's anti-American. Or just because no politician is going to have the balls to do it. Like, in Minnesota right now, they're looking at, like, a $600 million budget shortfall. And nobody is willing to talk about raising any taxes on anybody. So what we'll do is we will fill in fewer potholes and we'll shut down the libraries and we'll get rid of some of these... You know, bringing food to the elderly programs, like, cut all of this shit, you know, like, fewer policemen on the streets, fewer firemen, all of that, instead of just all of these politicians as one discovering their balls and going, you know what we should do? That guy who makes $500,000, maybe we should just double his motherfucking taxes, because he can afford it, and that'll be fine. You know, charge me an extra couple hundred dollars.
You know, I was listening to Arizona's in a similar but like sort of an order of magnitude less budget crisis here. Our we got no highway arrest areas anymore.
Yeah, I saw that. That was ridiculous.
I feel like it is weird to me that you need. Money to it seems weird to me that you cannot figure out a way to make a self-sufficient highway rest stop, even if it's just like, you know, this is fucking filthy, right? But at least it's a place to piss, you know, because I mean you can just piss off the side of the road, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know, it seems to me like and I guess the solution is just fucking Circle K's at exits, right? I mean, like, this is a bathroom, which we subsidize by selling gas way more expensive than it is in the cities, right? Arizona has these huge stretches of road where you can't stop and piss. Although I guess that's a problem that sort of solves itself for dudes, at least. Like, oh, there's no one around, and there's nowhere to piss. Oh, wait. There's no one around. I'm just going to piss on this 12-year-old girl that I'm keeping in my trunk.
You know, eventually her mouth is just going to get full.
But they were talking about, like, a 1 cent sales tax increase, and now everybody's like, no, no, no. And I'm like, what, you know, who is even going to notice that?
Right.
Like, sales taxes to me make a tremendous amount of sense because, like, you know, if they are like the sort of ultimate self-correcting system, right? Like, you will be able to afford one less candy bar a year with this increase in sales tax, but since everybody's paying it, we no longer have a budget deficit, right? And it's like, I don't fucking care. I'm comfortable enough to not have to pay attention to how much, like, food costs, right? I'll just go buy some food, right? And I have the luxury of not having to worry about it. I don't mind paying an extra 10 cents that I don't even notice compared to an extra 1 cent that somebody who is paying attention to buying cheaper food than I am pays in order for the state to not go broke.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing here is there's no tax on clothing. And they finally did a tax on services, so like haircuts and tanning salons, and people went nuts about that too. But there's also just like second homes have a lower property tax rate. Why?
Well, I mean, I think that's to encourage investment in the existence of rental properties, yeah. Right? Or is this for like...
Like houses by the lake, you know, like your summer home. You don't pay as much property tax on, and to me that's kind of a no-brainer, but
yeah.
The people who are going to give lots of money to your political campaign are not going to like to hear you say, what we need to do is raise taxes on people who have two houses and, you know, make $300,000 a year. It's not redistribution of wealth, it's paying your fair share, which I guess is what all us socialists say.
Right, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like, why is my fair share more than yours? Just because it's the thing. It's the same kind of shit that you'll rail against at a job, and so would I. Which is like the only reward that I get for working harder is you're giving me more fucking work to do.
Right.
Right. Which is kind of bullshit, and I can imagine. It's understandable why people don't want it to happen. But I mean, I think you're right. At some point, it's weird. The situation that gets created when politicians are just sort of bought and sold, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like everyone would understand that that's a bad idea and we shouldn't do it. But, nope. I mean, you know, I know when I'm writing my monthly check to my congressman to get all of my interests taken care of.
Right.
I don't feel guilty about it, you know. I'm just, like, a little sad that this is what it's come to. But, you know... I have money because I'm smart. I know how to make the right decisions.
Yeah. I had
no more money for poor people.
I think your work comparison, though, would be more like, Josh, you're capable of doing 100 times the work that this guy over here does. So I'd like you to do an extra page of, you know, data entry a day above what he does. Because you'll barely notice that you're doing that extra page. And if everybody who can work that fast does their extra page, then all of our shit gets done faster and everybody benefits. Like,
sure, but I mean, then you start talking about, like, doubling income tax at the highest brackets, and, like, that suddenly is noticeable, right? Like,
yeah, it's still, you know, like, so charge everybody who makes above $500,000 a year an extra $5,000 a year. That is a tremendous amount of money to me. They will not notice. Charge me an extra $500 a year.
I'm curious. I mean, like, looking at it, like, in small numbers like that, how many people are there that make more than $500,000 a year?
Yeah, I do wonder.
You know, I mean, like, maybe you get, you know, you get a few million dollars, and that seems like a lot of money, but it's not really a lot of money, right? I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just really sort of all about usage taxes, because that, I feel like, is just fundamentally fair, right? The more stuff that you have, the more taxes you pay.
That does make a lot of sense, yeah.
I mean, and you know, it's like, I'll just start stealing all my clothing off the internet.
Right.
Bit-torrenting my groceries.
I kind of thought with the tax on clothes, like, well, you know, you need clothing, especially here. You need clothing to survive for 5 months out of the year. But then I thought, well, you know, you don't need to buy the most expensive clothing. That would be... you know, the highest percentage of tax. You don't you should be able to, with an extra
tax any article of clothing that costs more than $15, right? Because I feel like you can get plenty of warm clothes for $15.
Well, not only that, but just, you can probably afford an extra dollar on every article of clothing you buy, even if you're really struggling financially, and it wouldn't even be that.
Or don't apply it to clothing at thrift stores.
Yeah. Don't apply it to ugly clothing, so at least we'll know walking down the street who the poor people are.
Yeah, which ones of us are poor, yeah.
It's like the Tosh bit about not, like, providing the homeless with the brand new jeans and then having them wear them until they're worn like they look in stores and then washing them and selling them. It's like that way the homeless will have clothes, but we can still make fun of them because they'll be out of fashion. Beautiful. It's brilliant.
Hey, you want to take a music break?
No, do you want to do some music? Yeah. Okay.
No.
I do. Alright, we'll be back in about 15 minutes or so. And that's the end of that song. So I guess we're back.
Hey, cool.
Back in the game.
What's up, man?
Accidental monitor switching offage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So now you can't see anything, man? It's like you're fucking blind, man.
I'm blind on the internet. No, because I have two monitors.
What does the elephant look like from where you are?
I'm just blind in one eye. My third eye blind.
I spent some time the other day. I don't remember if this was prior to the Thursday show or not. I spent some time the other day trying to figure out, trying to find out on the internet how the mechanics of the enemies in The Legend of Zelda dropping items works. And I couldn't find anything anywhere about it, and so then I've been messing around in an emulator trying to figure it out, and it's fucking weird. Like, it seems to be based on, like, some kind of timer, right? Because there appear to be, like by messing with save states and stuff, I can, like, kill the same Octorok, like, as it's moving from right to left. And there are certain spots, like, individual pixels, that if that's where the Octorok is standing when you kill it, it will drop a fairy, for instance, is what it was dropping in this particular test case. And there are a few other places also where it would drop those. Right? And I couldn't exactly tell if they were on some kind of cycle, like by the time he has moved, 30 pixels at whatever rate, Octoroks move at in terms of the timer, if it's just like cycling through, like, all right, so this one we've decided that he is going to drop a fairy if you kill him when the number of frames is divisible by 10 or whatever. It's maddening. It's maddening. I wish someone knew. I mean, maybe somebody does know. Maybe somebody listening to this will know and can point me towards something. Like, I don't know if... I've never met anybody who's, like, made, like, homebrew NES stuff. I have no idea how, like, legible the code is. Like, I feel like you can look at an Atari game and sort of figure out what they're doing from just the machine language code, if you know what you're doing, but I don't know if that's the case with a NES game.
How about for a SNES game?
I don't know. Are you making fun of me for saying NES?
No, I was making fun of you because back in the day you used to be grossed out by the word SNES.
Yeah. I think I would still just say Super Nintendo.
Yeah. I would say
Super. And I don't know why I said NES. I normally don't say that. I would normally say NES. Or original NES. Or original Nintendo.
I would probably say 8-bit. 8-bit Nintendo.
Yeah.
I call the Super NES the Sony. Or Sunin, sometimes.
Oh, yeah? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, sure.
Sunin.
Sunin. I think Sunin. I'm feeling that. Su-nin.
Do you know anything exciting during the break? I paid I left a check for pest control people outside.
I put my child to bed.
You know what I noticed? I noticed that the hose that runs from the booster pump to my little pool cleaning skimmer keeps coming off. Where's my government assistance to get that fixed, Mr. Skullhead?
Probably in the mail.
It's a serious problem. Probably somebody's stealing my mail. They come to nice neighborhoods and they steal the mail. Because they know that you know, people with some money, they just get free money from the government.
Mm-hmm.
From the politicians whose pockets they're in whose pockets are. From politician pockets. Pants. Politician pants. Yeah, and then I drank some water to try and assuage the rumblings in my stomach. What am I going to have for dinner, Mr. Skullhead?
I don't know. Didn't you get your government cheese?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I've been buying my private sector cheese, same as always. I guess I do have some. No, I ate all my private sector cheese.
The day that this country...
The pot of chili I made.
The day that this country gets a public option for cheese, that's the day that liberty dies.
Yeah. The day we start eating French fries.
Yep. But government French fries. Everybody gets the same amount. Doesn't matter how much you pay for them.
Hey, Paul BD asks if you listen to any podcast.
I don't. I listen to nary a podcast.
See, that was the thing. Another way in which I feel like the iPhone dramatically changed my life for the better is it made it possible for me to listen to podcasts. And now I spend a whole bunch of my time, several hours a week, listening to podcasts.
Hmm.
I don't actually know how much it improves my life. I'm definitely, like, entertained. Am I not entertained?
Does it not entertain you?
If you bleed me, am I not a prick?
I think because of... Yeah, it's not like I don't spend hours of time just kind of frittering away time on entertainments. Like, I visit a fat crap ton of blogs and revisit them several times during the day to mm-hmm. see if they're updated. But for a podcast, I'd have to either be wearing earphones or I'd have to be, like, concentrating closely on what was coming into my ear holes, you know? It takes too much attention. I can't... Like, I can kind of keep an eye on the kid and make sure that he doesn't wreck anything, including himself, when I'm, like, looking at going
by ensuring that he checks himself first.
Yeah, like, his self-checking, yeah.
Right.
And I can do that while reading Gizmodo, say, but I'm not sure that I could do that while reading Gizmodo and listening to a podcast. And I don't really want to do the experiments, right? How much input can I have, sensory input, before I ignore my child and he gets hurt?
Mm-hmm. You know, you could just let your kid fuck around unsupervised. He'll probably be fine.
Sure, he'll be fine. Big bowl
of water. Feed him some dirt.
Oh, he's already eaten some dirt.
Do you let him play outside?
Yeah.
Good man.
Our entire backyard is an anthill right now, though, so there will be no playing outside until we can get that shit solved.
But that's just because you're scared of ants, right? You don't want to have your kid come in and be covered with ants, even though it might not even bother him. But he'd be like, "Ah, I'm not touching that fucking thing."
Yeah, they bite.
Really?
Yep. The little tiny black ants, they bite. Jess is allergic to them to the point where, like, when they bite her, it's like a mosquito bite. It swells up and itches. Ants are bastards. I don't feel guilty.
Are you
at
sure
all
they're not just tiny land-bound mosquitoes?
Now, I did see this kid the other day just ripping the wings off of mosquitoes and shoving them in ant hills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mosquito hills.
GSA's Ace Attorney says, "Greetings live from calculus class, Chicken Scully. On a related note, when you guys were in college, didn't you hate it when you finished a quiz early but had to stay? Sorry, I forgot to mention that normally I could leave, but I have to stay and wait for details on a presentation, but that's it." Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Oh, wait, yeah. You know, if there was a time when I had to take a quiz and there was something going on after the quiz, I would just fucking leave anyway and either just not know whatever it was that was being taught at the end of the... Not that anyone should follow my advice on the right way to go to college. Took me a lot of tries. You know, I eventually graduated, although apparently, according to the April Fool's Day thread, psychology is not really science. Which, yeah, I don't know. I would not say that I am a scientist, but the psychology that I studied was science. I got a bachelor's of science, not a bachelor of fucking arts.
Science.
Which might as well be called a BF, a bachelor of faggotry.
Nah.
And then the BS should be a BA, which is a bachelor of awesomeness.
A bachelor of baracus?
Yes. Yes. I saw that, I saw a preview for a movie called The Losers, and for the first, like, several seconds of the preview, I thought that it was a preview for an A-Team remake. Are they making an A-Team remake, or did I imagine that?
No, they're making it. Liam Neeson is the colonel, whatever his name is. I forget
Hannibal.
I forget who Baracus is.
Is it not,
I mean, it ought to be Michael Clark Duncan, right?
I mean, I feel like it ought to be Mr. T. Why wouldn't it be Mr. T?
That way, I would feel like that would be kind of distracting.
What? Why?
Everybody else is played by a different actor, and yet B.A. is not.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Because black
Jessica
people don't age. He's the only one who can actually get away with playing the same character.
Jessica
the
Biel,
others are like fucking Dorian Gray.
Looks like it's going to be Jessica Biel as B.A. Baracus. She's in the film, but doing something else.
Justin Bieber.
Right. No, Quentin Rampage Jackson is playing B.A. Baracus. Major Dad's in it.
Gerald Rainey? McRaney?
McRaney, yeah.
I like him. He was really good in Deadwood.
He was good in Major Dad, too.
I don't know if he was good. I don't remember really watching Major Dad that much. My dad was a big Simon and Simon fan. Gerald McRaney kind of looked like my dad.
Oh, that... He was one of the Simons, wasn't he? Jesus.
Yeah. He was the one with the mustache.
This changes everything. It's like finding out the guy from The Shield was the guy in The Commish.
I have not seen either of those.
Gerald McRaney also was on The Commish for a little bit.
Oh, yeah? What guy are you talking about in those two shows that I don't know anything about?
The guy who also played The Thing in the Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like in the 90s or late 80s, he was this kind of... He was a police officer, a police commissioner on the show The Commish, and he's like this lovable bear of a man trying to raise his kids and very heartwarming laugh track kind of thing. And then in The Shield, he's got a shaved head and he's this super corrupt cop, anti-hero kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Does getting super corrupted eventually roll you over like getting all nines in Donkey Kong and you become a super good guy? Or you just start out at ethically neutral?
I don't know about your nerd stuff.
Half Void says, have you guys played Nobi Nobi Boy for the PS3? Fucking bizarre. Your goal is to transmit your length to a girl. I would not say that I have played Nobi Nobi Boy. I have wiggled some joysticks around and stared in complete fucking bewilderment at Nobi Nobi Boy for 10 or 15 minutes. I could not actually figure out, it seemed like the goal was to get longer, but it also seemed like you could just arbitrarily make yourself as long as you wanted from the beginning, so I didn't understand what I was meant to do to move towards accomplishing some sort of goal that just seemed to already be accomplished.
But there is no goal, right?
I don't fucking know.
There's
something that you're making progress towards because there's like Nobi Nobi girl who is like the moon trying to fuck the sun or something. There's a thing in the sky that gets closer to another thing the more you do something.
Right.
So I mean, at some point you take actions and it moves something closer to another thing with the ostensible goal of those things reaching each other. That becomes a goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just a thing that you can do. Yeah, I don't fucking know. And this is, we knew this was going to happen. Halfwood says, do you guys accept content ideas from your non-Frontalot players, or should I send my idea to Riff and tell him to say it was his? This does not mean that everybody can design content and send it to us. There is only one time in the history of KOL that we've taken a stack of paper with ideas for zones and monsters and items and stuff on it and turned it into a thing, and it was this time, and we're probably not going to do it anymore. It's like a celebrity only thing. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah. Now stop living off the government.
Yeah, stupid. Get a job, like as a poet or a baseball player.
Or a baseball playing poet.
Yeah.
Or the friendly Negro who helped the baseball playing poet win the big game with his affable advice.
Yeah, right. Friendly Negro.
I'm just talking about the magic Negro is a fairly well-recognized
industrious
Negro.
Mexican.
Right. Like in movies, the magic Negro, Legend of Bagger Vance, Morgan Freeman.
People talk about that. I don't watch those movies. I don't like movies with black people in them. Except Sam Jackson. Boy, I like him. Oh, and Coolio. I will watch any movie with Coolio in it. Are there any... Coolio? Are there any movies with Coolio in them?
Any Coolio joints? I'm sure Coolio
has. I don't know movies that Coolio necessarily made.
Is that what joint means? It means that you made it?
I don't know. Spike Lee joint was made by Spike Lee.
He was in Leprechaun in the Hood. Actually, he was an actor in well over 45 roles.
Coolio was in 45 movies?
Including the banker in Batman and Robin.
Coolio the banker.
Some of these are television appearances. He was Quanzabot in Bender's Big Score.
Oh, well, that's just voice.
Yeah.
So I've not actually seen any of the new Futurama stuff.
Bender's Big Score wasn't fantastic. But it was okay. Like, I enjoyed it.
Was Bender's game any good?
That's the Bender's Big Score is the only one I've seen.
Oh.
Somebody brought it over to my house. Handed it to me. That isn't what it would take, you know, it's not Freddy Got Fingered where someone would have to just come over and put it on my television while I was sitting in front of it. But that's how it played out for that one. Just answer.
Psychosis 730 wrote, Chick is right, debt be can't passed on to a person that isn't party to the original debt. When a parent dies, as much of the debt as possible is settled using the assets of the estate. If the debts are greater than the value of the estate, the creditor covers the difference. Debts also can't be avoided by giving away assets before death. Gifts are reversed. So, I mean, I guess it's possible to get somebody in trouble if you give your son a bunch of money and then you die and your son has already spent it, then he suddenly owes it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like there was another person with the opposite story saying that they were currently, like, apparently that kind of thing varies from state to state. Also, there's a lot of institutions that will do some sketchy shit, like saying, all right, you know, your parents owed us this money. Now that means you owe it to us. Sign this to get the paperwork going. And then they trick you into signing a thing that says you owe it to them, even though you don't.
Yeah. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Pobblebonk says, with Chick being all worried about money and the company about to put out a new game, maybe it's time you hire a business guy. Just don't let him influence the content. I'm not really worried about money. And, you know, we're about to put out a new game with, like, no profit model. That's how fucking business savvy we are. We don't need a business guy.
Yeah.
We're just going to spend years and lots of money developing a game that we can't make any money off of. But maybe we'll just be like, we'll hold out a cup and shake it with some dimes in it, and then people will be like, oh, we love you, homeless guys.
Get a job.
Man, there's this dude, and I guess this is a dude, like, every time I told somebody about this dude, they were like, oh yeah, man, I saw that dude. It was fucking this creepy subway busker in San Francisco. It was just this, like, guy dressed like a homeless guy, and he just had this, like, crazy fucked up violin with, like, a single string left on it and the bow all just completely ripped to shreds, just making this, like, kind of, like, not even exactly a cacophony, but just making the kind of noise that you would make if you just rubbed a fucked up bow on the single fucked up string of a fucked up violin really vigorously.
Right.
It was an unsettling scene.
was...
It's like the thing that would be in a montage about a character, you know, having been poisoned and then running away from his murderers through an unfamiliar city, you know? And he was just, like, swinging his head around, blurrily looking at different sort of nightmarish visuals.
Were you and David Byrne standing there going, this guy is a genius?
Mr. Skullhead, you just don't get it.
You know, the guy in San Francisco that really pissed me off was the guy who, like, hides behind a bush. And, it, like, as you approach, you can see there's a dude hiding behind the bush, like, oh, okay. And then he jumped out and shouted at my wife, and she jumped, like, 8 feet in the air. And he went, I scared you. Give me a dollar. Like, no, you're lucky to escape with your life. What kind of a business model is that?
Were you actually going to kill that dude?
He was lucky that I let him escape with his life.
Wow, you're a violent guy when it comes to protecting your family. You're like a mother lion.
You know, you're like a lioness protecting its cubs.
Or a bishop protecting his cardinals. Why did somebody decide that it was a good idea? Did something actually happen, or was it like some fucking evil publicity stunt that everybody starts attacking the Pope about baby raping on Easter? Like, what the fuck was that all about?
I don't know. There sure was a lot of it.
I mean, it's like, it's obnoxious, right? You know, it drives me nuts that, like, not only does the guy, the bishop of the, like, Phoenix diocese, not go to jail for letting a bunch of kids be raped, eventually he fucking killed a guy and still didn't go to jail.
Right, yeah.
Like, you think I'm kidding? That sounds like the kind of thing that I would be kidding about, but I'm totally not kidding. He fucking killed a guy. Ugh. Man. You know, I don't even hate the Catholic Church, but that's some bullshit.
And if it turns out that the guy who's currently Pope had some knowledge about some of these things and helped to get some of them... Like, they keep saying, well, we dealt with these things internally, as if that means anything. Or as if that's okay. Like, oh, yeah, we knew that he had broken laws, but we disciplined him internally. No, you turned them over to the police.
Disciplined that altar boy internally.
Apparently.
Get it?
Yeah, and they keep saying shit like we dealt with it internally, and it just sounds dirty.
With penis.
Yeah.
They need to just let priests fuck. I mean, not like kids or, you know.
Like normal people.
Or other dudes. That's a sin. Let them fuck normal people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I know any normal people who would give it up to a priest.
How do you prove you're normal?
Yeah. Well, if you fuck a priest, that makes you normal. Like, fucking a virgin will cure your AIDS.
Hmm.
You know what was pretty exciting about doing the art for Frontalot's quest was a Google image search for scabies. Mm. Gives you a lot of, like, scabbed up cock.
Excellent.
Yeah. No, I was pretty happy about it. I was like, oh, sweet. I was hoping to look at some, like, dick wounds. Ah, my name's Dick Wounds.
Come on down, Dick Wounds Ford. I figured that you would just... Yeah, right there on the first page. I figured that you would just draw something that kind of looked like a flea. And I didn't count on your work ethic, I guess.
I'm actually looking up what scabies look like.
Yeah, I think you're like, well, you know, it's like a microbe, got some legs. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't super accurate, but they kind of look like scabies. Don't do a Google image search for scabies if you don't want to look at some fucking cut-up dicks, though. I mean, I guess they're not cut-up. Ugh,
don't do a Google search for cut up dicks unless you want to see some cut up dicks.
Dick lesions, attorney at law. what did I learn? The guy who owns Balls, that energy drink Balls, is named Hobart Buppert. B-U-P-P-E-R-T.
What else are you going to do with the name Hobart Buffert, what started...
I don't know. Like, that is so much like a name that I would make up that I'm sort of afraid that I did make it up and just forgot about, you know, this like vast joke conspiracy that I set up 15 years ago. Hobart Bubbert.
That does sound like a name from The Simpsons.
Bubbert. It's like a cellar door. Hobart Bubbert.
It does roll off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yep. Argodi says, Vampire Bat, great bird familiar or greatest bird familiar? I could go either way. Missing No says, as a hardcore godless liberal, I lolled so hard. I don't know what that was in reference to. That's right. Cloudstripe says, I can fight the dolphins even though I don't have the sea unlocked. Hurrah! Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because you're fighting them on the surface. Linguini Lad links to something about video games perpetuating rape culture, and then it's just some CNN story that has something about video games and rape. Those are Japanese video. I feel like everything in Japan is about rape.
Yeah, totally.
Like, every bit of Japanese culture, some kind of rape. Like, tentacle rape, or just regular rape. And it's always like, you know, so this dude's raping a baby, but it's not really a baby, it's like a 21-year-old girl trapped in a baby.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, in a baby's body, but literally, like, inside a baby. So you have to fuck through the baby to fuck the girl.
Exactly.
Right. If you're going to fuck this girl, you're going to have to fuck through me first, said the baby. And the tentacle monster's like, I can do that.
I have a problem with the phrase rape culture.
Yeah?
It implies that one exists.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's like, you know, it's like arguing with a black person about white culture. And we're saying, like, you know, I would argue, I don't believe that there exists a culture that I am part of that is specific to my race.
Right, right.
And then the argument is like, but it's just regular culture. The reason that you don't feel like it's a specific thing is because regular culture is white culture. And I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Every day is Children's Day.
So saying that, you know, there is no rape culture, someone would argue, you just say that because you're a part of it. You know, because like, You know, Mr. Skullhead, you are a huge part of rape culture because you are constantly making rape jokes and talking about how funny rape jokes are.
Oh, that's true. I was so deep in the rape culture that I couldn't even see it around me. I am living in the forest, and all I can see are trees. And I want to rape those trees.
The forest of rape. The Forest Whitaker. Forest Whitaker is the forest of rape.
If we ever put another subset of the woods in the game, it needs to be Whitaker Forest.
Whitaker Forest. And all of the enemies are just Forest Whitaker in different roles.
I was just thinking of Lazy Eyes.
Right. Oh, man. That's mean. Sometimes he's a creepy nice guy. Sometimes he's a creepy mean guy. Sometimes he's a creepy shy guy. Sometimes he's a creepy confident guy.
The only role I've seen him in where...
Guy. Sometimes he's a creepy smart guy.
You sound like Dr. Seuss. The only role I've seen him in where it wasn't, oh my god, that's Forrest Whitaker, was in Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, where he's like really early in his career and he's wearing glasses so you can't see the lazy eye. He just kind of vanishes into the role.
Yeah. Vanishes into the role of his own fat?
No, he was totally skinny.
Like he disappeared under his own panis?
You Forrest Whitaker's not even fat. Panis. I don't know why, but you do.
What?
The second time...
Do you not like the word panis?
As you brought panis into the discussion.
I mean, it's hard to miss it, you know? I know. Why do you hate words, Mr. Skullhead? You love language, but you hate words.
It's true. I shouldn't play favorites. I shouldn't hate individual words.
That's true. Simeon says, please tell me those April 1st familiars will become part of the Doppels and Wardrobes. Okay, yeah, never mind. Just saw the trivial update. Much love. Yeah, so, sorry. Hell Demon 1 says, you know, guys, I have so rarely been brought to tears whilst playing this game. Goddamn April Fools!
Boy, there were some people that were upset about that.
Yeah, you know, that conversation got fucking weird in the forums.
Yeah, so it ended up being one of those meta conversations where it's about who's a dick and who's not.
Well, but then it evolved further. Like, it was like this, it was like just that thread, and I actually, like, I hardly ever end up reading, like, you know, 10, 11, 12 page threads in their entirety. But that one, I kind of had a horse in that race. And, I mean, I guess theoretically I have a horse in every race in our forums, but, like, sometimes it's a horse I don't care about very much. But it was like a drug experience. It just got weirder and weirder the more that, like, it ended up being an argument about whether or not psychology is a science. Yeah. Halfway to a road. Also, thanks for enlightening me to the Idle Thumbs podcast. I've been enjoying it and your bi-weekly 120 minutes immensely. Horsebag. Yeah. Man, you know what I'm excited about is I ordered, because they mentioned it on the one, like, one of the last couple of Idle Thumbs. They have a shirt that was on an old, like, cafe press style store that they had set up years ago, and they were, like, explicitly talking about how they don't get any money when people buy these shirts, but I bought one anyway because it's awesome. It's just Idle Thumbs in the Top Gun font, in, like, a Top Gun logo. Hmm. I would totally wear a Top Gun shirt. Because I'd be like, you know, it's like ironic appreciation of 80s culture. You know what's weird? So I got that Ghostbusters shirt. And I got the regular, I bought this like 3 years ago at Comic-Con, or 2 years ago. And I got the regular one instead of the pre-faded one, because I was like, nah, it's bullshit to buy a pre-faded shirt. But the ink that they made it out of, the whatever they printed it with, is like fucking indestructible. So it's still, even though I've worn it like probably once a week or once every 2 weeks for 2 years, it still looks brand new, and it's fucking weird. I don't understand. I kind of wish that it was getting a little worn out, because every time I go out wearing it, I'm like, God, it just seems like I've got like a brand new shirt, you know? And
you should probably
every time I wear it, strangers talk to me about it. Huh. No other shirt that I have gets comments ever at all. But literally every time I go anywhere with that shirt on, somebody talks to me. And it's like all kinds of different people. It's like sometimes it's like old dudes. Sometimes it's like frat boys. Sometimes it's like weird homeless hippie girls. Like, it's fucking weird, man. I don't get what it is. I every once in a while see other people wearing Ghostbusters shirts, and I think I should run up to that guy and be like, okay, man, you're wearing a Ghostbusters shirt. Do you have this thing where people randomly walk up to you and talk to you about it? But then I think, oh, wait. I really shouldn't do that, because there's no way for me to get any answer other than, yes. Anyway, do any of our listeners have Ghostbuster shirts, and do any of them have similar experiences?
Yeah,
let us know. Find us on Twitter at ASYM, online at www.kingdomofloathing.com.
And on the internet radio here.
At radiokolnet.radio.
/radio.com.org. .info.us.
let's see. Getting to these April Fools. ACM says, I think that you want to change the text of Uncle Romulus from Democrat to liberal. It keeps the game free of politics while keeping the joke intact and, in fact, more accurate. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's any more reasonable to make fun of liberals than to make fun of Democrats?
I would argue that the stereotypical liberal is the one who's going to have that dilemma more so than just a Democrat.
Right.
I don't buy the argument about we don't want to drag politics into this game, but I think liberal is probably funnier.
Yeah, one of the earliest things that I was going to put in the game was, and I know I've talked about this on the radio, but I think it's been several years. One of my plans was to make it so each guild, like the reward for like the the guild task that is missing a reward was going to be, like, sort of access to a new zone. And for Moxie classes, it was going to come in the form of them issuing you a license to steal from Republicans.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, a suburb in Seaside Town where you were just going in and stealing stuff from rich people's houses, free of the threat of punishment because they're Republicans.
Right.
And it wasn't that I didn't think that it was okay to make a joke about that, like, because I still think that's funny, right? It's that I couldn't really come up with analogs for the other classes, you know? Because, like, stealing stuff is, like, a thing, but, like, being a wizard is, like, what do you do? You know, if you're a thief, you steal stuff. If you're a wizard, you shoot fireballs at stuff. But, you know, it's like, a license to shoot fireballs at Republicans? That's not funny. I mean, I guess it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a little bit funny.
The muscle classes get a license to murder Republicans?
Mm-hmm. But only with guns.
Or alternatively, if we wanted to go the other direction, they'd get a license to murder unborn children.
Ah, yes, yes. Yeah. I would argue that everyone in this country right now has that license.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Especially with Obamanation in office.
Yeah.
Obamanation.
I remember when he was elected and everybody was like, this is great, everything's fixed. And I'm like, fucking no, it's not. You know, like, this is a good sign.
Right.
But there are still a lot of fucking ways for this to go wrong.
I think what I said was, I doubt that he's going to be able to get much done. And I think that any real change is going to end up being blocked by people with a vested interest in things not changing. But it's nice that we're going to have a guy that's going to try.
Yeah. And, I mean, if he can get a second term, it's possible.
What I didn't...
Make him accomplish some shit, you know?
What I didn't expect, though, was... I didn't expect him to be so willing to compromise, though.
You wanted him to be more like Rorschach?
Just so desperately trying to win some kind of consensus where there's just not going to be one. It's like, the people that he's trying to compromise with, their constituents don't even think that Obama has a right to be president. So of course they're not going to, you know, it doesn't matter how reasonable you are, you can take everything that they want to have accomplished and hand it to them, and they will still be calling you the bastard son of Satan and Fidel Castro.
He needs to do what the Juggalo News Network suggested and just start telling those bitches that he's got a hatchet with their dick's name on it.
Hmm. I would respect that, yeah.
Have you actually seen that video?
No.
Juggalo News Network?
I didn't watch it. Is it longer than 5 minutes?
No, it's not. It's about 5 minutes long. It's pretty fun. I mean, the content of it is not... Well, I don't exactly know how to draw this distinction. The people's names are really funny. And, like, a lot of the stuff that's scrolling across the bottom of it is pretty funny, so it merits a second watch to pay attention to that. A lot of the, you know, sort of actual dialogue is not that great.
Huh.
But, you know...
I'll have to check that out. Are they actually Juggalos?
Or I don't think so. I mean, because I feel like their sentences are way too well put together.
Excellent.
Fucking Juggalos, man. What the fuck? It is such a great thing. I've been to Cave In Rock, Illinois. And on that long patch of dead air...
I've been to Cave In Rock, Illinois. Yeah, I think on some level we
all went to Cave
In
Rock, Illinois with my freshman college roommate to a cabin that this buddy of his dad owned, and we got drunk and floated down a river in life jackets.
It's a beautiful.
And then we, as boats would go down the Ohio River, we would flash flashlights at them to get their attention, so that they would shine their giant spotlights over to the cabin, and then we would moon them.
Mm.
Which was, you know, that was kind of fun. You know, it was funny to get somebody in a boat to do something.
Right.
Right, like, oh, I'm exhibiting an agency in the world that I never dreamed was possible, and then I'm taking advantage of that agency by, you know, showing some dudes my ass.
That's good, then, that you graduated to just showing dudes your ass all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I figure, you know, you gotta want it, right? I'm not gonna go out and be like, hey, everybody, and then show them my ass. I'm just gonna put my ass out there. And the people who want that experience can exercise their own agency and make it happen.
Yeah, because you're not doing any welfare ass is what you're talking about, I think.
Right.
You gotta earn
right.
that ass. You don't feel entitled to that ass.
Yeah.
You don't feel right. entitled to that ass. That's a perfect tagline for the show, I think. If anybody asks you tonight, listeners, what this show was about, you say, you don't feel entitled to that ass.
Yep.
And on that note, good night, everybody.